dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
A pitch hit in the air to right field and deep. Back goes Matos. Near the wall, it's got a chance. Gone. Two-run homer, Ian Happ. Cubs lead 2-0.
Absolutely crushed that ball.
What I love about Ian is very dedicated and serious about his craft.
Gold Glove Award winner.
Soto drills one deep to left. Leaping up and snagging it is Ian Happ roaming toward left center. What a catch by Ian Happ. And that ends the second inning.
Host of the Compound Podcast, Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has five fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
We do toast Ian Happ with our Connect Roasters coffee. He joins us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. He co-hosts the Compound Podcast, which is now a part of Odyssey Sports. New episodes drop each Wednesday with the latest discussion on the Cubs and baseball. Download and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Ian, I have to say, I think both Marshall and me did not know if we were going to have you on the show today or not, just with all the news.
Yeah, I mean, you know, tried really hard to get back and get it right and be able to play at some point this week, but just wasn't right. Wasn't the smartest thing for the length of the season. So take the time and be ready to go next Tuesday.
Now, Bruce Levine had posted on social media last night, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, that you're headed to the injured list. What can you officially tell us right now?
Yeah, I just wasn't able to get the oblique to cooperate and get to a place where I felt like I could, play and like I could. So, you know, it'll be backdated. So it'll be next Tuesday, when we're in Miami, that I'll be back. So hoping that take these days and get it right, not have to deal with it again. And that's one of the kind of assessments you make at this point in the season is just making sure that you're right for the long haul and not doing something that's going to jeopardize a longer stint.
How difficult was that decision? I know you've dealt with a number of injuries as all athletes do during their career. I'm looking at a list right here: eye, ankle, rib, knee, hamstring, shoulder, now oblique. How difficult was this one maybe in comparison to some other injuries you've had to kind of get that designation and determination whether you should try to push it or just take a step back and let that thing heal?
Yeah, I mean, this is only the second time in my career I've been on the injured list. The other time was when Nico and I collided in 2021 and couldn't stay off after, some ribs and a blow to the face. So, you know, every other thing in my career I've been able to play through, been able to stay on the field, something that's super important to me, something that I take a lot of pride in, being out there and being available and not missing games. And so, yeah, really tough. And I appreciate being able to try over the last couple of days to get it right, with attempting to avoid the injured list. But ultimately, the decision, you know, just made the most sense to give the body a chance to get right. And something like this, like an oblique, is just something that you're just a little bit tentative, and you're not sure how it's going to react when you go into like 100% full game swings. It's really tough to simulate that, and it's really tough to know exactly how that's going to react. And it's something that high re-injury rate, something that's really easy to tweak when you're not fully ready. So getting the next week to get it right makes the most sense.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing where we talk a lot about obliques as a whole in baseball, especially when it comes to hitters. Also catchers, I feel like catchers suffer from a lot of oblique injuries. But just understanding the pain that's associated with it, if you could describe that a little bit more, just so people can kind of understand, because I do think it is something that sidelines people for valid reasons, but until you actually experience it or somebody explains it to you flat out, you might not know how that happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a rotational sport, right? Everything that we do is rotating, whether that's hitting, throwing, and there's even a rotational aspect to running. It's on the lighter side of, we're on the spectrum of obliques. Just the concern about you can hit in the cage, you can do some of the other things and make it through. But when you're really going into competition at the highest level, check swings are something that is, they're kind of uncontrollable in the game, right? Especially for, you're facing, whether it's something that's just out of the zone, you feel like you make a competitive move at it and you shut it down. That puts a lot of pressure on the obliques. And so getting to a place where you feel confident in doing that and confident in taking your full A swing in the game and you're not holding back, because that's kind of how you can lead to doing something that aggravates it. And it's also an injury that, a minor one is a week or so and a major one is a long time. So trying to avoid the second part there.
This segment with Ian Happ is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. I also want to know just how that conversation went down. I know that it's a hard thing to have happen when you know that you have to discuss an injury, but to be able to have the luxury of like taking the time a little bit to prepare for the long haul, what was that discussion like with you and the organization?
All the conversations with the medical staff and, I like I said, appreciate the ability to take a couple of days and try to get it right. I think for the way that we're set up, and our group, Saya being able to jump right out there is huge. We have a deep lineup and a chance to be able to, team will be fine. So, and just the conversation about like, hey, where we're at in the season, it's May, let's make sure that we're in a good place, not doing something that's going to jeopardize a longer time out. So made the most sense.
Ian, when you look at the success that this team has had, you're just passing the quarter pole point, if you will. We're 40 games in. It's a long season, so you're kind of getting a little bit of rest to go along with this. How would you assess how this team has fared? And are you surprised about any of the developments specifically within the division? I know the Cardinals are red hot and you guys are in first place, but it seems like it's going to be an interesting ride, as it always is.
Yeah, I think that's just the season. It's never perfectly smooth and linear. Teams are going to get hot. Teams are going to get cold. That's all part of it. And we play a ton of games and that's how every season goes. So, we're just focused on one game at a time in our series, and trying to do our best to play the game, like from a base running standpoint, hitting, pitching, the whole thing. We're completely and totally focused on the Chicago Cubs. There's going to be movement in the division all the time, but I feel like this group has played really good baseball even through the course of, last week, two tough series against two good teams. We were in a bunch of those games. We had a chance to win, and that's how it goes. We've played a bunch of good series, and then you lose a couple series in a row, but you feel like you were in them and had a chance. And so, one of the things this team has done really well here that we've talked about is bouncing back from tough games or a tough couple games. And so, that win last night, Quantrill did a really good job in the first few innings of mixing it up. His pitch mix was a little bit different than it had been in previous starts this year. And the guys made the adjustment kind of that second time through. Dansby with the Nico with the single, and Dansby with the big homer to jumpstart it, and then Tuck and Say. And so the ability for this group to, even if it's the first three innings didn't go well, to put up a big spot, and see Ray, what an unbelievable job he did last night too, and then the bullpen shut it down. So all those things, the ability of this team to score in multiple ways, but then to bounce back from a tough couple games was really good to see.
It was also one of those games where I feel like you could see hitters' clear approaches at the plate on the Cubs side when it came to who got their pitch and what they wanted to hit. You know, Kyle Tucker middle in, you know that's going to turn into extra bases. It did. Seiya Suzuki absolutely took advantage of a pitch that was right over the heart of the strike zone, I feel like a little high. What did you think about just, the defined approaches that you've seen out of the veteran hitters on this team so far?
Yeah, I think guys have done a really, really good job. And you can see it reflected in kind of the team stats up and down, you know, whether it's the walks or, I got three guys with 10 homers, like the slug is there. Everybody's doing a really good job of sticking to their approach and being who they are. And I think it's a credit to Jed and Carter just about the lineup construction. And we have a really... We have a really good group that meshes well together. You know, you have guys that are going to put the ball in play a ton. You have guys that are going to walk and get on base a lot, and guys that are going to slug, and guys that can run the bases. So the ability to put all that together and have a bunch of different weapons and just let guys be themselves, and that when guys are themselves in this lineup, it really gels, I think, is a really nice feeling for everybody. It gives them confidence to just go be themselves on a daily basis.
It feels like we know what we're going to get from the Cubs offense on a consistency basis, but the question has been about the starting pitching and the bullpen. But a lot for me, because of what's happened with the injuries with Shota Imanaga now after Justin Steele's been out for the season, how much value has Colin Ray added going from that swingman spot? He's made six starts. You've won five of his six starts.
Yeah, I mean, he's fantastic. And I think we, as players, knew kind of who he was. You know, him and I played together in 2019. And I got to see, you know, before he went overseas and then came back, you know, I got to see who he was as a person, as a competitor. And then, you know, you've seen over the last couple of years what he was able to do with Milwaukee and kind of what his skill set at the big league level. It's truly impressive. He's got a number of pitches. I don't think it's five. I think it's more than that. And the ability to command them all. And I think you saw that last night, just watching his ability to be on the edges all night, command the fastball. He's got the two and the four, plus the cutter that he commands really, really well, and the breaking balls and the splitter off that. So, just his ability to work, be competitive in the strike zone. He doesn't give up free passes, and he really competes. And you know, the ability to, what he did early in the year for us, two or three innings at the back end of games to give the bullpen a break. But then now to come step into that starting role seamlessly and be as effective as he has been, it's really lengthened out our rotation amidst a couple guys being down. And that's who he is. You know, he never was upset about not starting, you know, was willing to do whatever for the team. And you can see just how good he is and how much of a competitor he is. And it's been a real joy to watch.
I feel like you've had a couple years where guys who've gone overseas, their perseverance has paid off. You know, they come back to the big league level. They're able to not only, I guess, just reinvent themselves, but put a lot of things into perspective. You know, Mike Tauchman comes to mind, of course, in that discussion. I know Crosstown is this weekend and he's on the Sox now, but you know what I'm saying when it comes to just people being able to get rewarded for the work that they put in to get back to this level.
Yeah, I mean, it's super, it's awesome to see, you know, when you have stories like that and something that you can celebrate in this game. It's so hard for everybody, and being able to celebrate that is truly special.
When you look at the time that you're missing right now, the opponents that you're missing, I mean, obviously it's been a very, very tough schedule to this point. Does it give you any solace to know that you're not missing the time against the other first-place teams or division games that count doubly if you look at the numbers?
You know, I got a lot of confidence in this group, you know, that they're going to be able to do what they did last night, put up runs, great pitching. You know, it's Major League Baseball. Winning baseball games is really hard, no matter who you're playing. And, you know, you can see that every single day across the league. It's not easy to win in the big leagues. And so, you know, every game matters as much as the next one. Doesn't matter who you're playing, but I got a lot of confidence in this group day in and day out.
And you spend a lot of time in the outfield. You may hear some noise behind you in the stands every now and then. I feel like that might increase during Crosstown, given all the videos I've seen of let's just say, spirited altercations between fans and the bleachers behind you, or perhaps in the outfield. What are your impressions of just crosstown and maybe some of the stuff that you've overheard while you're standing in left field, for example, either on the north side or the south side?
Yeah, it's always a fun environment. You know, it's one of those things. Yeah, we're lucky to get to play in a city where there's two teams and passionate fan bases on both sides. And, you know, over the years, it's just, it's always a great energy for those few games. And we, you know, no matter what side of the city you're on, it's a great energy and it's fun to be a part of. So, you know, it doesn't matter what year it is either. It's always the same buzz. And so it'll be exciting. It'll be fun. Hopefully everybody's going to stay safe out there in the bleachers.
I'm curious as to what your reaction has been as you've observed Pete Crow Armstrong holding down the leadoff spot. Craig Counsell was very firm that when you are ready to return, that's where you will return. But do you see anything different when he's hitting leadoff as opposed to other spots in the order?
No. I think he's doing a good job of maintaining the same approach, and I think that's, and he's done it before. You know, he's hit in the leadoff spot throughout his career in the minor leagues, and so he's familiar with it. He knows what to expect. He knows that the extra at bats are coming his way, but he's done a really good job about sticking to his approach, and just really focusing on that one at bat at a time, kind of what pitch he's looking for, what the pitcher's trying to do to him. So just continuing to do that, continuing to talk to him through bat to a bat and what he's looking for, and just making sure that it's the same approach no matter where you are in the lineup.
And I also want to get your opinion on what a amazing past couple of days for Dansby Swanson. He and Mallory make the announcement that they are expecting. Of course, huge congratulations to them. I made the joke that some university is probably already trying to recruit. And then also to just have the performance he's had over the last really almost a month or so. You know, he's got 9 home runs now. What do you think of just how he's been able to put it together and enjoy a spot in the lineup maybe where he wasn't expected to be?
Yeah, I think Vanderbilt's probably got the leg up on that recruiting process. But
good point.
Yeah, doesn't matter what sport either. Yeah, it's been really impressive. And you know, we talk. It's when it's so early in the year, you know, he was putting up the power numbers from the jump, and he was hitting a lot of balls hard and they weren't getting down, and the power numbers were there. So when your power numbers are there early, it's really easy. Not easy, it's hard all the time, but you get a few hits and things start to look right. And to keep that confidence and understand that, like, hey, a couple of hot days, things are going to look right in a hurry. And you've seen that, his ability to go out there every single day, be the same guy, and trust that was coming. And it's obviously showed up in a big way. And, you know, he's super talented, been doing this for a long time, and has the confidence and the ability to just keep going through what is, you know, a really challenging April at Wrigley Field. And so, you know, just, he's hitting the ball hard all over the place. Big homer last night, and taking advantage of the pitches he's seeing. So just fun to watch and pretty impressive, and playing great defense at shortstop as he always does.
We appreciate it. Anything going on with Connect that you want to tell us about? And we are just over 2 weeks away until that live Compound podcast.
Yeah, 2 weeks away. We're going to be at Music Box Theater with PCA on the 31st at Music Box Theater. But yeah, go try to grab some cold brew from Connect, the new canned cold brew, and try it out.
Supposedly, we're getting close to cold brew season. I hear there might be some 70s and actual 80s in the forecast.
They got 91 on Thursday, I think.
Yeah, but by the lake,
big day
is
Thursday for cold brew.
By the lake, though, I don't. You know better than a lot of people. Like, it gets cold by the lake, even with the highs being what they are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll be a little bit colder by the lake and a little bit colder at night. But I think you get some nice sunny days, and cold brew cans are finding their way out into Chicagoland. So go check them out.
Also, we're looking forward to seeing you May 28th for that special live broadcast at Brickhouse in Wrigleyville. That should be a good time.
Yep. Thanks so much, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Ian. Hope you feel better. That was Ian Happ. Really cool that he gave his time to us, letting him know about the injured list, his oblique, and everything else. Just thanks to Ian for doing that.
So Ian Dillon, with being on the injured list, says he expects to be back Tuesday, so a week from today. So that's the good news as far as injury outlook goes. A reminder, you can tune in to Spiegel and Holmes this afternoon starting at 2 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Cubs versus Rockies. Yes, that Rockies team. at Wrigley
Field.
Tell
them about how they made a mistake with Bud Black.
That's on May 26th. It's all provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. If the weather is nice, I expect to see several balls flying out of Wrigley Field.
You're all, hey, the high is 78, and then I walk outside and I'm still freezing. I was like, 78, my arse.
I was sweating on the way home yesterday, so I was like, is it just different north versus south?
Do you live on the North Pole and you're used to this? Because I was freezing.
Stop. Stop.
I'm not kidding. I was freezing. Guys, if it's under 75, I'm cold.
Okay, well, that's what it is.
But you know what 78 is supposed to be? Over 75.
Well, 72 is room temperature, so you shouldn't be cold at room temperature either.
I am. I am a lizard.
Okay.
Yep, I sit on a rock and I soak up the sun.
All right.
Scaly.
I'm with you.
What?
Forked tongue. Yep, all of the things. All right, coming up next, Chris Emma was at Hollis Hall for Bears rookie minicamp, so we're going to get his impressions and takeaways. Talk a little Bears next with you, Harrison Rahimi, on The Score.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people like Chris Emma.
I love that that's the whole open for Chris Emma. That's it. It's just Mark Rohde.
I'm hyped.
We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, and we go out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we find our friend, the diligent Chris Emma. Chris, how are you?
What's up? How we doing?
You know what? We're doing all right. You know why? Because despite what happened last night in the NBA, there's still Bears to look forward to, and they didn't lose a game yesterday. They didn't lose a draft lottery. They're out here just getting ready, ho-humming.
The NFL doesn't even have to worry about a draft lottery. Perhaps that is a sign, as they are the most popular league.
I don't know if that's why they're the most popular league, but I see what you did there.
Oh, yeah. I hate the player and the game.
Chris, what are your thoughts before we even get to football? What are your thoughts about the draft lottery last night and the Bulls having the 12th pick? I'm asking everyone. I forgot to ask Ian. I meant to ask him.
I appreciate you asking me because I was bothered. Like, lottery luck is not an organizational strategy, and that's what the Bulls have leaned on for year after year after year. And look, you go back to February when they traded Zach LaVine away, and you understood that this was going to be a team that wasn't going to win a championship. It wasn't going to come close. And the best opportunity in play was what they got, which was a home play-in game, and that's perfectly fine with the people who run that organization. They got what they deserve. They lost in emphatic fashion to the Heat, who are once again a better team than them in the play-in and better team overall. And then there they are sitting there with the number 12 overall pick. I think the real unfortunate thing is they're going to say we were a coin flip away from Cooper Flagg.
No, that's not an acceptable answer. I thought about it too.
Exactly. I thought about it.
It's just going to enable this way that they've operated for years. It's frustrating.
You know what I say? If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Do the Bulls even have a Christmas game? We'll find out now, won't we?
They definitely do not have a Christmas game. The Bears have a much higher chance of playing on Christmas Day than the Bulls.
Actually, that's a good point too, Emma. The schedule is being slowly released here. And I don't necessarily know that that's the best phrase for it. What do you call this? The slow leak of the schedule is coming out? It's like one of those Chemex pour over coffee things. Slowly we get a game here and a game there as it pours through this filter. What do you think the likelihood is of the Bears getting a Christmas Day game?
I think it seems very likely, and I would pencil that in for Washington on Christmas Day.
Wow.
And the way that it sets up was a year ago when they had these Saturday games leading into Christmas. The four teams that played in those games also played on Christmas Day. Process of elimination, the Eagles and Commanders are playing the other game in addition to the Bears and the Packers. The Bears are already set for Black Friday with the Eagles, which would set them up to play against the Commanders. That is a slated opponent for a road game, so I would pencil that in. We'll see if that comes to fruition. The caveat here is that there's a Saturday to Friday differential, where last year was Sunday I'm sorry, Saturday to Thursday. There's an extra day where last year it was 4 days. They didn't really have much of a say in it, but I think it's very much in play for the Bears to be playing Christmas Day. And we've seen it already. These network reveals of these games, we've already seen two Bears games set. And I think you're going to see some more primetime games put out there. This is a team that's going to be, once again, drawing a national audience.
Hot take Tuesday with Chris Emma, man.
I don't think it's a hot take. I think it's just that's the state of where we are with the Bears and the Bulls in this city, is the Bears get to play on Christmas Day and the Bulls have no chance of playing on Christmas
Day. In 2 minutes with Chris Emma, he doled out the phrase organizational strategy for draft luck.
Actually, that's not even a hot
and
take. It's just the truth.
And then he said the Bears are playing on Christmas. Emma's working.
Let's hit Cubs. Let's hit Sox. I got all the thoughts coming your way.
Or do you have any Sox thoughts? Yeah, we want to know.
I don't think you have any Sox thoughts right now. Maybe in a couple of years, but
they play the Cubs on Friday.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun. Crosstown Classic. I wish there was a little bit more juice, but I'm excited to see Moises Ballesteros. Look, this is I actually got to see him a couple weeks ago. I was in Des Moines. I got to see the Iowa Cubs play. I saw one of his at bats, and he hit a ball about. It seemed like 115 miles an hour off the bat, just a laser to the right center field alley, and that's all I needed to see. This guy checks all the boxes. He is a slugger for this team.
Why were you in Des Moines watching an Iowa Cubs game?
Yeah, I got questions.
My sister lives out there. I had to go check out the Iowa Cubs. We got to stay for about an inning and a half before my sister said she was cold and wanted to go home. Understandable. It was a cold night in Des Moines, but good little ballpark, and we had some fun, and I got to see Mo Baller rip one to the alley.
This Chris Emma segment for all seasons is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Wow. So you're scouting Moises Ballesteros, who's reportedly coming up thanks to our reporter Bruce Levine. You have prognosticated, and I think we should take that audio if we need it for the future, that the Bears are playing on Christmas. And you had some very, very sick Bulls thoughts.
Now I want the Bears Moises Ballesteros comp from Ricky Minicamp. Who's the comp?
I know who he's setting you up to say. I know it.
What you got, Chris?
Shamar Turner. My goodness, it's absolutely Shamar Turner. The guy, Moises Ballesteros' bat is violent. You talk about the knockback you want to see off the bat. Moises Ballesteros has the knockback. Shamar Turner has the knockback off the line. This is a guy who is a Dennis Allen player. We heard Dennis Allen say it as well. He is going to bully guys off the whistle, off the snap. And like, he's going to be a really aggressive, violent player for this team. He fits this defensive identity. So no brainer for me. It's Shamar Turner.
I thought you were going to say Kyle Monongai.
I want to preface things with a seventh round running back. Like, he's exciting, and I think everybody sees him as a steal, and may very well be the case, but I feel like we're putting the expectations unreasonably high on him. Like, scouts are not big on Kyle Monongai for a reason. Like, there's a lot of things he's got to prove at the NFL level, but he's exciting. It's a piece. He's going to be somebody to watch, but I feel like we're putting a lot of expectations on him.
Do you also, it's funny you mentioned, we're mentioning running backs. You mentioned Turner. One of the things I thought about too was Dennis Allen. Where, how many times did you hear him say over the weekend at House Hall, he can run? It is clear that Dennis Allen loves some speed, and he loves people who can cover a lot of ground.
Yeah, and you think about a player like, I talked about Shamar Turner as a Dennis Allen player. You've got a lot of Dennis Allen players on this team, and Ruben Hippolyte's a guy who's fascinating to me. You talk about sideline to sideline speed, and a guy who can run, as Dennis Allen said, like, that's Ruben Hippolyte. And it was an interesting pick at the time, because that was a player who everybody had projected for late in the draft or even undrafted entirely. He goes fourth round, and a lot of eyebrows were raised for that pick and nationally. But you think about what the Bears covet in players, and specifically for Dennis Allen, like, this is a Dennis Allen player all the way. And they made it clear that third linebacker spot is wide open for the taking. Jack Sanborn had that spot for years. He's down in Dallas now with Matt Eberflus and the Cowboys. So Ruben Hippolyte's the guy who might be a fit for this defense. And I loved hearing his words on Saturday talking about misery loves company, was the term that he used, referring to the idea of people who have been skeptics on him and saying that he's not going to be an NFL player, that he didn't deserve to go in the fourth round. This is a guy who, like, character off the chart. It's clear right away, and you see why the Bears are so drawn to him. He's a very talented player with something to prove, and those are the guys you want to bet on.
Another guy with something to prove in my eyes, but I'm already all in. I'm all aboard the Ozzie Trapillo as a left tackle train. Let's ride. Is it that simple? Is he the guy? Because I have him slotted as my week one starter at left tackle, because I don't think Braxton Jones will be where they want him to be.
I think he's your week one starter, right tackle potentially. I really do. And
what? Hot Take Tuesday with Chris M is a thing.
Expound on that.
It's a decision that's looming, and it's not going to be a one-off. It's not going to be a trial for this guy or that guy. But Darnell Wright is in consideration to move from right tackle to left tackle this offseason, or if not in the coming weeks, then in training camp. And they want to make this decision one and done and commit to him as either right tackle for the future or moving over to left tackle. But it's very much in play for the Bears to have this decision being made. I think they want to see them get the pads on in training camp before they really go full go with this. Ozzie Trapillo has the luxury of being able to play left side or right side. He started out at left tackle right now this past weekend. Granted, there's not much going on for rookie minicamp, but he started at that left side and he showed the technique and everything you wanted to see of that spot. But if Darnell Wright is moving over from right tackle to left tackle, I think Ozzie Trapillo is going the other way. I think he's going to right tackle. They believe in him as starter upside. They certainly see that making him a second-round pick. They absolutely love his ability to play with technique, but also with violence, and to combine that. There's an opening at tackle now. We know which side it is. It's the opposite side of Darnell Wright. I'm curious about Braxton Jones' health. And this is somebody they still believe in. They're not writing him off by any means. They're not writing off Karan Amagaji either. But they have a high investment and high belief in Ozzie Trapillo. I think they're going to give him an opportunity alongside Darnell Wright, and I think it's going to be with Ozzie Trapillo at right tackle.
What's the advantage there of moving Darnell Wright to the left side? Because that's where he spent all his time as a Bear, and that's where he seems to be comfortable. What's the advantage?
I mean, he can play both ways on that. I think they want to see how he looks, first of all, and they get a true sense of whether that conversion works for him. That's going to be something that's decided by Ryan Poles and his staff, by Ben Johnson and his staff, certainly Dan Rauscher, your new offensive line coach as well. But it's protecting Caleb Williams' blind side. And this is a complete overhaul of the offensive line, which we've seen from last year to this year. The one starter returning right now is healthy is Darnell Wright. If you move over to left tackle, it's a complete change now with three new starters in the interior and now two new tackles. If you count Darnell Wright making that move, we'll see. Maybe it's something they shy away from. They say we feel better with him at the right tackle spot. But they see it's something that's at least very much in consideration. But like I said, it's not going to be tinkering where Darnell Wright's playing right tackle one day and left the next. They don't want to do this where they're overwhelming Darnell as well as Ozzie Trapillo or anybody else. They want to have the decision ready to go, commit to it, and go forward with it.
Chris, what have you seen? Like, was there something you saw at Halas this weekend where you said that that's still a possibility, or is this just something that you're thinking could be?
It's something I've been hearing, and it's something that's been out there a little bit, you know, talking with people around the Bears and getting a sense of kind of where this offensive line is going to take shape for the future. It's something that they've been considering internally. And obviously seeing Ozzie Trapillo line up at left tackle seems to offer credence that it won't happen. But again, it's rookie minicamp. He's got familiarity at both spots, and it's going to be really fascinating to see come – what? So a week from today is the first practice of OTAs. We will be out there as media for practice a week from tomorrow. We're going to see how they line up with the ones, and that's not necessarily going to indicate anything for the season. I think they really can't get a thorough evaluation of this whole line until you get guys in full pads and popping.
Ah, Chris Emma with the hot takes. Apparently we need to do this more often. End the scouting report on Moises Ballesteros. That was great.
I don't have any Blackhawks coaching candidates for you anymore, so I'm sorry. I'm going to leave you short on that. But, yeah, you got a lot of sports thoughts for you. Let's go. It's that time of year.
Thanks so much, Chris.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. That was Chris Emma joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today.
That was a lot, but in a good way.
That was incredible. That was why haven't we tapped into this side of Chris Emma before?
We'll be doing that from now on.
The Bulls thought was just flamethrower.
But I think we all have our flamethrowers out on this day. Do we not?
Yeah, we
do. It could be Bulls flamethrower day.
Like I said, I walked into the office with my own feelings.
I'm interested to get those Joe Cali feelings. Let me just say that.
Yeah, Joe Cali joining us later on the show. What do you want us to give away right now, Ray? We got a lot of stuff.
The Who tickets, we're just teasing.
Oh, okay. We should tell people. Later in the show, we're going to give away some tickets to see the Who. How about that? Tune into our show on 670 The Score all week for your chance to win tickets to see the Who on Sunday, September 7th at the United Center. That is before they have gone on sale, people. They don't go on sale until Friday. So we're ahead of the game here.
I like that for us, being ahead of the game. I wish the Bulls were ahead of the game, but here we are.
It's halftime next.
It is halftime.
Apparently, I've gotten a lot of requests to review a very popular show that I went to on Sunday, so I'm going to give my review.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You told me about that.
I did.
I had no idea what it was or what it was about, so I'm interested in that. There's some new stipulations if you're going to be on the red carpet at the Cannes Film Festival.
At Cannes?
Yeah, Cannes Film Festival.
Cannes.
The S is silent because, you know.
Right, but there's two N's, which means you can.
Can.
Yes, we can.
Say bon. I'll be telling you what those stipulations are and why you might want to make sure you're properly attired.
LZ, we're next on the score.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
Apparently, we have discovered Chris Emma has hot takes on Tuesday about virtually every sport in Chicago. If you missed that, you can go back and listen on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. We talked for two segments and took a few calls about the NBA draft lottery and the Bulls coin flip that unfortunately resulted in them getting the 12th overall pick and the Mavericks with the first. Ian Happ is headed to the injured list. He told us himself that was at 11 o'clock, and now it is halftime.
It's halftime.
I'm still mad.
I mean, we're all still feeling some type of way. I mean, I don't think that's going to go away.
Here's, I'm not even talking about the Bulls. I'm saying you should get punished for trading Luka Doncic.
Oh, you're still mad about that.
You'd have a lot more first-round picks if you took it to other teams like a normal GM does.
What's crazy is in the new NBA, CBA era, it wouldn't matter that much because you couldn't pay as many people as you want to pay to join up forces with. So they're actually in the perfect spot right now with a young Cooper Flag and with Kyrie and Anthony Davis.
Or if they possibly have enough assets to trade for.
What they do have enough.
Giannis.
They have enough assets, but I don't know that they can pay him, Kyrie, and Anthony Davis and still do the thing.
I'm looking forward to your second apron research.
It's ongoing.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that segment percolates.
We'll pick a day between now and the draft. I think that's appropriate.
So I went to the Mel Robbins Let Them the Tour show at the Chicago Theater on Sunday, and I posted a couple pictures, and I didn't realize that so many people had questions. They were like, how is it? You know, like, we like Mel Robbins, blah, blah, blah. So I guess I'll give a review. Yeah, what's your question, Marshall?
What is Mel Robbins and what is this tour?
Mel Robbins is a popular writer. I would categorize her as self-help. She talks a lot about the five-second rule. You count from 5, 4, 3, 2, and then 1, and then get up and do your thing. You know, because that initial instinct is what tells you to act.
Back up on that 5-second rule. Explain it one more time. So you just count down to 1?
And like if you're wary of like replying to somebody, replying to that email, calling somebody back, a task you have to do.
Oh, you're saying count it down and that relieves the anxiety and just do it.
I don't even know if it so much relieves the anxiety, but it honors the instinct.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Because you'll talk yourself out of doing that thing once you try to focus on something else. So just do the thing while you're thinking about it.
I feel like
you do this every morning when you wake up and then go work out.
No, I just go do that. I think more than times than not, I have to count myself down to talk myself out of doing something that I really want to do.
But that's the point. So you have developed that innately. So she wrote a book called Let Them, and it's gotten pretty popular. So popular that she's gone on tour. And I have listen to her audiobook, Kick Ass. I have not read Let Them yet, but I wanted to go because my friend was going. So it's just something different kind of show to see. I thought it was very motivational. She gave out notebooks. Everybody's taking notes. There were pens as well.
It was work?
I don't know that it was work. It was just trying to absorb the information that was being given.
Oh, okay. Now, I just Googled the Let Them theory. I'm all about, you know, I'm about this life.
Radical acceptance. If people want to do things. But she said that. You're like, you're trying to naysay it, and I'm telling you that's what she called it.
Oh, well, this philosophy, the Let Them theory, I can get with that, because everybody's not going to like you.
It's a step-by-step guide on how to stop letting other people's opinions, drama, and judgment impact your life.
Just be a hermit like me, a recluse.
Or, you know, when people want to complain on various formats about yours and my lives and our, you know, daily jobs.
I don't have a problem with people commenting on what we talk about, what we don't talk about, our feelings, our opinions.
We can't do anything about it anyway.
Like, it is what it
it's
is.
It's like everybody who texts in telling us we're bad. Well, we're not going to change your thought.
Bad to the bone.
But, like, we're not going to... If you want to have that thought, you can. But then people get mad when we say that. What?
847. Whoa, that 5 second thing made me not smoke this crack.
I mean, if that's what you want to do.
Oh, man.
I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. I'm just telling you what I took away from the session of listening. So,
okay.
I don't know.
So you enjoyed it.
I think if you're a fan of hers, then you'll like it. And if not, then that depends on what you want to get from something like that, if that makes sense.
What was the demographic split gender-wise of this audience?
Oh, it was majority women, and apparently a lot of 20-somethings are into her teaching.
I like that for them, because the earlier you learn those types of philosophies and lessons, the better you're going to be at life. Let's
right.
be honest.
So that was my review, if anybody wanted to know. But she only had 2 shows here, and I don't know when the next ones would be. But it was something different. I like I like to attend lectures. I like shows like that. So I always get something out of it, I feel like.
It's nap time.
All right, so this is quick, but I felt like it needed to be said. Let's go to Cannes, France. I don't know why I said France. Don't ask. The Cannes Film Festival, red carpet, perhaps the most rigidly controlled red carpet in the world. Now the festival has added a new stipulation. No nudity.
Oh, while is nudity, this in response to Bianca Censori?
While nudity was never previously endorsed at the festival, Cannes updated its dress code on the eve of its 78th edition to read that, quote, nudity is prohibited on the red carpet as well as in any other area of the festival, end quote. While a no-shirt, no-service policy is standard in places far less glamorous than Cannes, the policy tweak sparked widespread attention Monday because of the recent trend of sheer and nude dresses.
Bianca Censori.
Such as Bianca Censori's Grammy appearance. Asked for clarification on the policy, Cannes press officers said the festival, quote, made explicit in its charter certain rules that have long been in effect, end quote. So they don't want to regulate the attire, but they just want to prohibit full nudity on the red carpet, as it's in accordance with the institutional framework of the event and, of course, French law.
Well, how do they feel about like an entire fur outfit, like a faux fur coat and pants? Because it's freezing in movie theaters. I would be doing the exact opposite.
We got to get you.
It's frankly why I don't attend them as often.
We got to get you some help, some thermals. We got like things to keep you warm.
I wear them.
And you're still cold?
Yeah.
Man. That Texas didn't. I mean, I'm from Alabama. I went to school in Mississippi. It used to be hot, like 100 and some degrees with the humidity.
Even when I was at Circa in August and it was 102 outside and I was fine.
Well, there's no humidity there. It's just heat. I can deal with
102
heat.
At 5 o'clock when the sun is also reflecting Man, off listen. Of a metal wall or a glass wall. You don't know that life.
Yes,
you
I do. I live in Sacramento where it gets to be 115.
You haven't been to Circa when the sun is reflecting like that in Vegas in August.
Okay, that's fair. I don't get to go to Circa. Everybody else gets to go to Circa around here, but not me.
Well, that's not how you do it. You then say, I want to go to Circa.
I want to go to Circa.
There it is.
Okay, so can I go now? When are we going?
Yeah, let's get on this.
Okay.
Let's try to figure it out.
I'm all aboard.
But the point is, at 102 degrees, still sounds better than movie theater temperature.
I love a movie. Yo, movie temperature is supposed to be cozy. Bring your hoodie, bring your like blanket if you want, whatever you need.
It's yeah, I'm pro bringing theater. A blanket to a movie theater.
Yeah,
it's just the move.
How do you feel about blankets that look like tortillas?
Yeah,
I feel like
not?
Those are pretty popular right now.
Hey, comfy Sundays or comfy Mondays are just around the corner. Just remember that.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know what a comfy Monday is? That's where
yeah,
the
football.
Bears win by double digits in the 10 column. We call that a comfy win Monday, and you come in comfortable.
Caleb Williams does a lot of that, like the snug sweaters and stuff.
Caleb Williams, I saw a video of him getting out of a car with like supermodels and stuff.
I saw that
too. I was like, oh, he does a lot.
I saw that too, and I was just like, Go on, Caleb Williams. Live your life.
Rumble, young man, rumble. Yeah. That came to my mind.
All right, so we cheered on Caleb Williams to close out halftime. Coming up next, it is 5 on it, and there's a really good question that I wanted to ask Ian Happ, but we'll ask you next.
Here we go.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.